It is my very great honor and pleasure to be with all of you this evening. My special gratitude to the trustees and the officers and secretaries of this very exalted organization, the Vegetarian Society. I was asked to speak about the principle of compassion. Ahimsa is a universal sacred principle within many of the great religions, spiritual paths of religion, yoga. And what is very important for us to explore is the spirit of Ahimsa. To not cause harm directly or indirectly to any living being, as far as possible, with one's actions, words, or thoughts. Paradukkha-dukkhi is a sacred principle. It means that one is actually evolved spiritually to the extent one feels another person suffering as my own suffering, another person's happiness as my own happiness. In my school, Vaishnavism, we base our teachings on the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna tells, Aham Bija Pratapita, that the one supreme truth, the one Lord, of all living beings, of all religions, is the father and mother of every living being. Mamayavam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. That the source of life, that person that's seeing through the eyes and hearing through the ears, that's feeling and experiencing, that's animating a body, that living force is a part of God. That living force is sacred. To the degree we actually come in contact with our own true essence, our own real self, then naturally we will feel deep care and concern for all living beings. It's not just a matter of an intellectual understanding, but reverence for life comes from the heart. Because in fact, we all are connected. Recently, I was on a train from New York City to Washington, D.C. And in a few seats in front of me, there were two men, and they were speaking very loud. I was trying to do my meditation, my chanting, but they were speaking really loud. And they were so upset because one was reading in a newspaper about how in one Oriental country there was a slaughterhouse for dogs. Oh, they were outraged. They were talking about these people in this Oriental country as being totally uncivilized and cruel. They were saying, can you imagine slaughtering dogs? As I was listening, I was feeling for all those dogs that were being slaughtered. And I was also feeling for all of those life-loving people in the forms of animals who aren't even being acknowledged in their suffering and death. Gandhi said, the moral level of any society can be evaluated according to how humans treat animals. And my beloved guru, Srila Prabhupada, I remember I was sitting just in front of him with several others, and he said that the barometer of the spiritual level of any society is how happy the cows and animals are. Your country of India has given me so much. Some years ago, I was with a Babaji who was living on top of a mountain and had been there at that time about 25 years. Hadn't seen a newspaper, hadn't been on a telephone. He was just on this isolated mountain, just doing bhajan. And he asked me which part of America I was from. I said, Chicago. As soon as he heard the word Chicago, he started to cry. And he couldn't even say anything. And when he was able to speak, he said, oh, that is the place where they slaughter so many animals. At the time, the largest slaughterhouse in the world was in Chicago. And here's this Babaji on a mountain. How did he know? I didn't even know when I was living there. I had to look it up when I got back. But as I write in this book, The Journey Home, I hitchhiked from London to India because I was seeking meaning, fulfillment, and values in my life. And I really wanted to understand what is the truth? Who am I? Who is God? And what is my actual relationship with others? And I'd like to tell you one event that happened the first day I was in India. It was the evening. I came the night before, and it's in Chandni Chowk in Old Delhi. It was really crowded. It was a complete cultural experience for me. Monkeys jumping around, and people with sticks chasing them away, and little kids with their cricket bats jumping around. And so many people, some with turbans and some with saris, and it was, and there was incense burning, and there was spices in the air, and some different types of music. I was just walking around, because I had just hitchhiked through the Middle East, which isn't so colorful like that. One man came up to me he asked, "What is your name?" I told him, "So what country are you from? What is your educational qualifications? Do you have a bank account?" These are the questions. I said, "I don't have a bank. I used to, but not anymore." And he asked, "You know, what is your purpose of coming to my country of India?" I said, "I'm looking for God and truth and meaning to my life." He said, "Are you hungry?" That was the first question I really appreciated. Because actually I hadn't eaten in a couple days, because I didn't have any money. And he said, "Would you like dinner?" And I was very enthusiastic. That was the first question I answered with great conviction. And he brought me to this little sidewalk cafe on the main road of Chandni Chowk. And we were right next to the street. And as we're sitting at the table, there was a mother cow. In my whole life, I had never been so close to a cow. I was just about 19 years old, turning 20 at the time. This cow was so beautiful. She was a white cow, and she moved so gracefully. She looked at me and had these large, shining black eyes. And as she looked at me, it was with such peace, such affection. This cow was laying just hardly a meter away, and she had a little calf. The calf was just exploring her new life. She was jumping around, and she was looking for this and looking for that, and the mother was watching the calf so carefully. And every now and then the calf would come and start rubbing against the mother, and the mother would lick the calf. I never saw such a thing before. It was so beautiful. The motherly love of this cow for her calf, and how the calf, so frisky, jumping and jumping, but was completely dependent on the mother. I actually kind of fell in love with these two little. I was just watching and watching. And every now and then the calf would come up to me and look at me and start, I had pants in those days, and start eating my pants. Like licking and start licking me. And I was petting and she was going. And then she'd go back to the mother, and the mother would lick, and the mother would look at me because I made her calf happy. It was beautiful. Then the food came. They slapped the food on the table. And I never saw anything like this, because I had never eaten Indian food in my life. My host said, "Would you like to know what everything is?" I said, "Yes, please." He said, "This is chutney, this is sabji, this is dal, this is chawal." And he said, and there were some little chunks on top of the rice. He said, "This is meat." When he said, "This is meat," I was looking at the cow and her calf. And I'm telling you honestly, as soon as he said that, the cow reached her neck over and licked my leg and looked up at me. It was the first time in my life my heart made the connection. Intellectually, we know that meat comes from animals. But my heart never made the connection before, because I never had a relationship like this before. It was like a bomb going off in my heart. I sat there silently and cried. my poor host, he didn't know what was happening to me. I was crying, and I couldn't even touch my food. And he said, is there anything wrong? And I just was looking at the cow and her little calf. I stood up and said, I'm feeling really sick, I have to go. And I walked away. And as I walked away, the little calf started following me, and the cow reached over and licked me again. It was one of the great gifts of India. I was looking for meaning. I was looking for fulfillment. And this was so much the beginning of my quest in India. I actually understood for the first time in my life a glimpse of the sacredness of life. Not in a way of discrimination. If we actually feel compassion and respect for the sacredness of life from the heart, it is universal. This spirit of compassion is the greatest need in human society today and always. And the actual, my Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, and our holy sacred texts tell us, to the extent we're actually connecting with our own essence, the Atma, to the extent we're actually connecting with the Supreme, we will feel genuine compassion for all life. Not long ago, one American lady, a dear friend of mine, she was telling me a story. Her and her husband were in Varanasi, and they saw a dog with only three legs. She was kind of hopping around, and she looked like she was really struggling. And the dog somehow or other disappeared. And they felt this feeling that, let's try to do something for these dogs. They're really miserable. So they went and bought a big stack of chapatis, roti. And they started giving the rotis to the dogs. And most of the dogs in Varanasi, they're really hungry. So they were like, trying to get there first. And, they were like, they had to really be careful. They would put their hand out and like, dog would go, and give another roti. But there was one dog who was just sitting off. He was standing off to the side, watching all the other dogs, trying to get their roti and kind of fighting amongst themselves to get the next one. And after everyone got the roti, this dog walked up and looked up, and this lady told me he looked so grateful. And she handed him the roti, and very gently, he accepted it. And unlike all the other dogs, he didn't eat it. He just walked away with it, holding it. So, this lady and her husband, this really kind of mystified them. They followed the dog to see what he was going to do with the roti. He walked about a block and a half, and there were all these little carts where people were selling things. He walked under the carts And they followed a little distance to not disturb him and looked under the cart. And they saw that three-legged dog was laying there with, she was the mother of a little puppy. And that dog came and gave the roti to the puppy. He didn't eat any of it. And the mother didn't eat any of it. They were just so happy to see the puppy eat it. This was moving. The love of a mother cow. Later on, or actually way before, in the early 70s, for about 8 years, I was taking care of cows and goats. And I could see, they just want to be loved. When I would brush the cow really nicely, she just felt, she was sparkling with happiness. Sometimes when I would brush them really nice and feed them, they would practically dance out of the goshala into the pastures. And when little calf died, the agony of the mother cow suffering to see the loss of her child was emotionally non-different than a human mother for her child. Maybe not the intellectual sophistication, but the affection and the pain was the same. It's very important that people be educated, that the true value of life is how we put our own selfish interests aside in a spirit of compassion for other living beings. Sometimes people challenge, but vegetables also are living beings. So why are you discriminating? Human beings who are so developed in our intelligence, in our capacity to use our free will to do incredible things, we are given the responsibility to be the guardians and caretakers of God's children. And that means each other as humans, and those children who may not, in the form of animals and birds and fish, who may not be able to speak our human language. It is true. Vegetables and plants have living force within them. And scientists have proven that they also have a certain awareness of pleasure and pain. And as far as possible, we should be kind and compassionate to them too. But for survival, we have to eat something. And compassion, human responsibility, is to minimize pain and suffering as far as possible. The plants, their nervous system, their awareness is on a lesser level where they don't suffer to the same extent. Not long ago, someone was telling me how they eat. They don't eat meat, but they eat fish. And they said that fish are vegetables from the sea, and therefore that they were vegetarian. I asked, did you ever go fishing?
He said, yes, of course. I said, well, when you go like this, pulling in, what happens? He said, they pull the other way. I said, why do you think they're pulling the other way? I said, if there was a hook that you swallowed and it was in you and someone was pulling you, would you go the other way? I said, yes, of course. I said, that's what that little fish is going through. That little pulling that you're enjoying is a living being, a person who is seriously struggling and suffering for its life. And will bleed just like you. From an aesthetic point of view, the harvesting of a wheat field or a vegetable garden is very pleasing and invigorating to the heart and to the mind. The slaughterhouse, the stench of death, the screaming of pain, the terror in the eyes of the animals as they're being killed. Just our own human nature can understand the difference. In my life, the first day I was in India, that awareness transformed me. I vowed to never eat meat again on that day. And to have a really meaningful, fulfilling life, we should be aware of who we are. What is the nature, the feeling of God's children, of all various forms of life, and how to actually live in a spirit of love, of compassion. My guru, Srila Prabhupada, once was sitting in his room, and one of his students was sitting in the room alone with him. And Srila Prabhupada was just looking at the floor with a very grave expression, just looking. There were tears in his eyes as he was looking. And it went on for some time. And finally, the student asked him, you know, is there anything I can do for you? He said, yes. He said, you see this insect here? He's hungry. He can't find food on the carpet. He said, go out, get a leaf, come back in, and very carefully let the insect crawl on the leaf, and then put him on a tree so that he could find some food. Not everyone could have that extent of compassion for an insect. But it's beautiful to see how saintly people actually think. There's a life-loving person wherever there's life. Edmund Burke
a British statesman. He had said that there's nothing that will help evil to be triumphant as when good people don't do anything. Activism. Compassionate activism. To bring awareness, education to people is so critically important today. And most all of you are very much aware of the incredible volumes of statistics that are coming out about the dangers of a meat-based diet, not only to health, not only to the aesthetic value of the human mind, but to the environment, to the human population. I recently read a statistic. Worldwide, approximately 2 billion animals are killed a week. What is the karma? Any pain inflicted on any being has to come back to us. Not only does it come back to the persons who are connected to it, but it affects the world. I read 40,000 potatoes will grow on 1 acre of land and 250 pounds of meat. And there's starvation. The starvation in the world is not due to a lack of food. That's secondary. The hunger in the world is due to a lack of human compassion. If we utilize the resources of Mother Nature, the resources that God has given us in a responsible, compassionate way to humanity as well, then the conclusion is we have to transcend this meat-eating civilization. The amount of water, the amount of land, the pollution it creates, it's unsustainable. It's unnatural. We have to be the change we want to see in the world. When I first started studying, because actually for about 8 years I taught vegetarian cooking classes in the universities of America. And I was at a time, usually I organized about 10 colleges where we were teaching this. And everyone was becoming vegetarian because they liked the food. India is very special. We have such wonderful vegetarian food. And once they like the food, then they open their minds to the possibility. Well, okay, well, what is this vegetarian? It seems like I could do it. And then when they actually understand the ecological advantages, the environmental advantages, the moral, ethical, human, compassionate advantages, the aesthetic advantages, then they cannot eat animals again. Leonardo da Vinci, we like to look at his art. He said, when human society
actually evolves in consciousness, then they will see that killing an animal is none different than killing a human. It is murder. And I don't want my body to be composed of the carcasses of my dead brothers and sisters.
And when I was teaching these courses, it was quite incredible that 98% of the people coming were not vegetarians. They just heard it was good food and it was free. But, you know, to get the food, I would give a little demonstration how to cook something, and while I would be doing that, I would give some teachings. And when they made the connection, it created a transformation, a change in their life. And all of us, whoever we are, we have this wonderful dharma, wonderful opportunity to do our part, whether it's big or small, through our example, through our words, to make a difference in the world. When I think back, I don't know how I didn't get it. When I was a little boy, my little brother, his name is Larry. He had a pet turtle. The turtle's name was Lucky. And how he loved this little turtle. The turtle would crawl around. Sometimes my little brother would put the turtle on me, and Lucky, with his sharp little claws, would climb up me, and I would go, "Oh, Lucky, you're so nice." And he'd look at me, and he kind of looked like he was smiling. And we'd put him down, and he'd swim around in the water, and we would watch. And when he was hungry, you know, we'd... When Lucky died, my little brother cried for 3 days. But while he's crying for Lucky, he's eating cows and lambs and chickens and fish, and doesn't make the connection. If we cannot honor the sacredness of life, or as your mission statement is, reverence for life, in these helpless people, then there won't be much depth in our actual compassion for each other. To love and to be loved is the greatest need of the heart. Things could give some pleasure to the mind and to the senses, but only to love and feel loved can give pleasure, fulfillment to the heart. When we are connected to that love within our heart, when we are actually experiencing that love of God, Krishna, then naturally, we will want to be an instrument of that love. In our tradition, we chant this Maha Mantra, or the names of God. And actually, that is the purpose, to reconnect us to that love that is within us so that we can be instruments of that love in whatever we do. And to be instruments of that love toward all of our brothers and sisters. And I want to congratulate this Vegetarian Society of India for inviting me and allowing me to participate in some small way. And for working so hard with dedication to share these sacred principles with each other, with the people of Bombay, Maharashtra, India, and the whole world. Thank you very much.